Stars had finally come to Shidu Mod's black skies. Ben could see a thousand of them chasing one another across the night. They were flinging tiny slivers of light back and forth, erupting into orange novae and silver supernovae, falling from the sky trailing long ribbons of flame. About 100 were descending in wild, unpredictable helixes, trying to evade a pursuing torrent of streaks and flashes. Most failed, then blossomed into a spray of color and finished their descent in the form of dozens of brightly glowing specks. But all too often, the shooting stars swelled rapidly into the fiery-nosed lozenges of remnant dropships. They made a long, sweeping curve toward the abandoned mining complex the Jedi had been using as a base, then began to trade cannon fire with the Hapen gun emplacements hidden in the surrounding terrain.
"We're going to hold out," Ben said.
He was standing on an old strip mining terrace, studying the battle from inside a thicket of gummy mabu cane that somehow thrived on this particular variety of mine-ravaged ground.
"They're not getting enough troops down to box us in."
"Well, that's a relief," said Trista,
now wearing night vision goggles and the self-camouflaging body armor of a major in Her Majesty's select commandos.
"Here I was worrying that we'd actually have to fight this thing out."
"Be nice, Trista,"
Terran chided.
She was also wearing night vision goggles and commando armor with an officer's insignia on the shoulders.
But Ben had his doubts about whether either sister was actually in the military. Ben looked over and found Trista pressing her finger to her comlink earpiece, quietly murmuring into her throat mic, asking questions like,
"Do we know if she survived? And who's heard about this? Anyone moving yet?"
Ben glanced back to Terran and found her also holding a finger to her comlink earpiece, listening intently but not speaking. She saw him studying her and motioned him close.
"There's been an attack aboard the Dragon Queen," she whispered. "Almost everyone with royal blood is dead."
Ben's heart dropped so far he'd have to pick it off the ground.
"Tenel Ka?"
Terran shook her head.
"Don't know yet."
"Alana?"
Terran shook her head again and did not answer. The two sisters listened for another moment, then Trista clicked off. She pulled her blaster rifle from its holster and checked its power charge.
"We're going to hold out,"
she said, quoting him.
"You had to say it, didn't you?"
Ben frowned, struggling to make the connection between what had just happened on the Dragon Queen and the battle on Shidu Mod.
"You're saying I jinxed us?"
"It's not your fault. This is a Hapen thing."
Terran checked her own blaster rifle, then pointed at the lightsaber still hanging from his belt.
"You do know how to use that, right?"
Sure.
Ben snapped the lightsaber off his belt.
"If I have a good..."
He did not bother finishing the sentence, since both sisters had already retreated from the Mabu thicket and were heading toward an old mine adit that entered the hillside at the back of the terrace. The two guards stationed at the mouth of the tunnel took one glance at the blasters in the sisters' hands and looked away, obviously taking pains not to see the pair. Once they had entered the cool mustiness of the adit, Ben asked,
"What was that all about?"
"The Megador still has most of the home fleet bottled up at Aurora Station."
Trista removed her night vision goggles and led the way down the passage, following a line of hastily strung ceiling lights toward the Hapen's command center.
"So it's just the Dragon Queen and a few of Ducha Rekud's battle dragons up there. Since the attack on the Queen Mother, Sigtel has been picking up a lot of comm traffic between the Anakin Solo and the Deserving Gem."
"I guess that explains things, sort of," Ben said.
Sigtel was the Hapen Signal Intelligence Unit. Apparently, they suspected the Moffs were trying to strike a deal with Ducha Rekud to take Tenel Ka's place.
"But I was actually asking why the guards pretended not to see us."
"Oh, that,"
Terran's voice turned teasing.
"We sort of turn invisible sometimes.
Don't Jedi?"
"It's different for us," Ben answered. "We actually have to sneak."
The lights ended 1,000 meters later, next to an old repair chamber cut into one side of the adit. Once again, the guards stationed at the door looked aside as Trista and Terran approached, and Ben followed the sisters into General Avet's makeshift command center.